When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Working Girls. This is our third episode with me and Ginger.
Hi, I'm here.
You are here.
I'm here. I feel beautiful.
You look beautiful.
I feel like Mrs. Roper, actually.
If anybody is listening and they want to see what we actually look like, we're streaming this, I hope, on our YouTube and on social media.
OnlyFans.com.
Yeah.
Whatever
Craigslist.
You got.
Craigslist.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore?
No, they ripped it down.
That's right. Yeah. I think you could still do like massage on there.
Oh, well, I don't want to do that. Can I get a massage on there?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Hey.
Well, we are so excited to welcome one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. She's my season 7 sister, the winner of All-Star Season 3, the one and only Trixie Mattel.
Hello, whores. Hello.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
I'm so good. I look forward to this all day.
I've been looking forward to this all day too. You look beautiful. You look radiant, like you're glowing.
Thank you. It's the ring light. I'm actually just a gray corpse.
You know, I'm looking at you right now and you, all I see is like this porcelain white teeth right here, which I'm not that you have bad teeth before, but I'm just not used to, you know, because I'm not even really used to mine yet. Are you, yeah. Do you find it weird like that you've had
No, I mean, mine, I don't even think changed my voice. I didn't have like a speech problem afterward, which I was afraid I would.
My teeth didn't change my voice either. It was the cigarettes that did that.
I know. If you go back and watch season 7, Ginger's like, hi. Like, you know, it's very soft, very feminine voice.
Now it's like, hi, everybody.
All I remember from your season was eggs, 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 eggs.
That was the two of us. That was
us.
The best day. Well, I say it was the best day, but we were covered in dozens and dozens of raw eggs under those hot ass lights for hours.
Yeah. And like, I remember I was holding raw eggs and I was like, are you sure? And Ginger was like, just do it. Just do it. And I'm telling you, I cracked a raw egg in her open eye.
Like, wow.
It wasn't even like a theatrical, like I crushed it before it hit her. It smashed on her face. And then Ginger, they yell cut, and Ginger's like, did we get it? Did we get it? And all, like, closed. She's used to taking organic, runny materials on the face. So.
Yeah. Did you ever get egg in your eye, Gabriel? It burns. What have you been up to? What's that from? That's from Trick.
Yeah, Trick. With Coco Peru, where she is.
Oh, out, like, yes. Okay. I have seen it, yes.
Yeah, we've really, all seen it. It was a coming of age. Really. Yeah. Well, literally a coming of age.
Coming in the eye of age.
That's a fierce film. She really runs away with that movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, she runs away with everything that she does. Which is funny because I've never seen her run.
Well, she's got pins in her ankles. Have you guys seen Girls Will Be Girls?
Oh, one of my favorites. I love that movie too.
That is some shit that like nobody, I will say like, you know, people who say they're a fan of drag, A, don't know who any of those people are, and B, have never seen that movie. And I'm like, this is formative shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you are gay or gay adjacent, you have to see Girls Will Be Girls. It's Farley Jean Merman, Jack Plotnick, and Coco. It's the fucking funniest movie ever. Every time I watch it, I find a new joke.
It is hilarious. And girl, when I first saw Farley Jean Merman out of drag, because I had Googled her after that movie,
And I'll bet she enjoyed it.
And then it showed all of her like out of drag pictures. I was like, what the hell? This is
big
like
old daddy.
Daddy, a muscle ginger daddy. Another ginger. You know,
like,
I don't know what it is.
Like a CrossFit daddy. Like in Provincetown during the summers, you know, I would like bike around or whatever during the day and I would bike by her theater. And behind her theater, she keeps her CrossFit racks and weights permanently set up. And she's behind the theater in the direct sunlight doing circuits for hours. I mean,
yeah.
It's a different meaning to circuit party, I guess.
Totally. It's almost like if you're good to your body, it responds. I don't know.
I'm not familiar with this concept.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Do you work out, Trixie?
I run.
You run.
Yeah, but I don't do too much like weightlifting, to be honest. Like, I'm training for a marathon, and you're supposed to be doing more weightlifting than I do, which is a lot, you know, not much.
I just watched that movie, Brittany Runs a Marathon.
Yeah, like, I'm her.
Pierce?
No. It's about this girl named Brittany.
I thought it was like, Free Brittany.
No.
She's going to run now.
No. Too soon. No, it's about this overweight girl who drinks and parties too much and loves musical theater and decides to start training for a marathon to kind of get her life together. And it's like the whole journey through that. I'm literally sitting there eating my keto ice cream going, I feel you so much. I love
you. I'm going to run
like
too.
I have struggles too.
Right? The only thing I've ever run is
it's a hard process, but obviously the reason it's like emotional is because, like, especially if you've never done it, I don't know. I didn't grow up athletic. I didn't grow up feeling comfortable playing sports. Straight guys still scare me. And so, like, to be doing a sport and be dedicated to it is like, oh, wow, how much of my life have I wasted being, like, afraid of sports or exercise because I'm afraid of straight people?
Sometimes. I was forced to do sports when I was younger. Yeah. I mean, because I had those football players.
Well, you were the ball. Football players, you were the ball.
Yeah. Well, I played football, started as a tight end, and I ended as a wide receiver, and my father hasn't talked to me since.
Oh, God.
I was forced to play, like, T-ball. And then in middle school, my grandmother was made me play basketball because, of course, my sister was like the All-American. She like played cheerleading and basketball and volleyball and track, and she was good at it all, and she made straight A's, and I was like none of that.
A mess.
And my grandmother's like, we're gonna put you in basketball. And so I did one game of that, and I was awful. And I told her, I said, if you make me do this again, I'm going to sit in the middle of the court. So she didn't make me do it again.
You just wanted to do the halftime show.
I just wanted to go into the locker room.
Well,
oh my God,
that's a story for another day.
You guys really are from Florida.
No, she's from Alabama.
I'm from Alabama. Which,
is that better or worse? What's trashier, Florida or Alabama?
It's just Florida. Different levels of trash. No, Florida, it's different levels.
Florida is like trash. Alabama is more like, you know, country incest.
Yeah, Alabama's more country, and Florida's more like
the armpit of
like
the
drugs.
US. Yeah, meth.
Like, I'm not gonna say where, but last time I was in Florida, I was on tour, and I went to a certain gay bar, and I saw a girl performing a drag queen in the show, completely barefoot, and I was like, we are in Florida.
Yeah.
My band was like, does she have shoes on? I was like, it doesn't even.
You don't need them.
Don't look at it.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, the way that if you have grew up here, I can imagine like you're probably immune to everything. Like, you know, barefoot, the things that people eat, the you know, people that you have sex with. I mean, I can say this because I've lived here long enough now. You were probably immune to anything and everything. Like,
no, we did have the highest numbers of COVID for a very long time. So we're not immune to everything.
Well,
yeah,
that's just because COVID is new.
You know, tell you, as somebody who's also from the country, and my mom let me run around naked and barefoot and, you know, rub sap in it. You're injured, rub dirt in it. I thought I couldn't get anything either. And then I began my gay life and found out you can get a lot.
Oh.
You get a lot in a hurry.
Herpes syphilitis.
So my grandmother was like, she was very much like that in the vein of, if you have something wrong, I have a cure for it. Uh-huh. And it's up in the pantry next to the pancake mix. And it was always like, one time I had gotten into a bushel of peppers out in the garden, and I rubbed my face because my cousin Jason told me to.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's a Trump supporter. So, you know, I should have known from an early age. Anyway, my whole face is swollen and like purple. And my
swollen more than normal?
More than normal. I was not fat then, you bitch. So
that's how it began.
She said,
oh God, I'm undressing.
Please don't. Watermelon sugar, no. She laid me out on the couch and she's like, just be still. She went and got molasses and mixed it with like some crushed mint. And then she put it all over my face, and I'll be damned if the swelling, like immediately the stinging stopped, the swelling went down. It's like.
There was two things that my grandmother, it was a cure all for everything. Apple cider vinegar.
And a shot of whiskey.
No, but might as well have been. And then fucking Vicks vapor rub.
Yeah.
Like literally, I hate that stuff still to this day because like, it just is so gross. And she would make me put she'd rub it all over my chest and make me put a shirt on top of it.
Yes, yes, that is the worst part.
Could you imagine if, like, if you use Vicks Vapor Rub over the hot pepper burns?
No.
I'm glad my grandma wasn't your mama or your grandma.
Anybody who's out there who's a doctor, call in now. Is there any actual benefit to Vicks Vapor Rub? Is it a lie?
Yeah. Yeah.
It really could just be like, our moms did it, so we think it works. I mean,
it's minty.
A placebo.
I don't know.
It's like how people say, don't go on the cold or you'll get a cold. That doesn't make any sense. Like my grandma being like, put a coat on, you're going to catch a cold. That is not how bacteria and like viruses work.
Well, it's apparently, cold,
so they jump on you. Like what?
No. Apparently, like, you know, that myth of like, you're not supposed to eat 30 minutes after you.
Before you go into the pool.
Yeah, yeah. That's a myth. And my whole entire life, I thought that was real.
Well, it's not necessarily a myth. Like, you can get cramps if you eat too much and then you exert yourself. It's not just about being in the pool. It's like, you don't eat a big meal and then immediately go run. Or, well, no, you might want to do it immediately after you eat so you don't have time to set in. But it's muscle cramps.
You can't believe any of that stuff. It's all lies. They also say third time's a charm. And how many noses are we on, Trinity?
15. Yeah. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
I meant your nose.
You bitch.
I gotta say, I love you in blonde ginger and I love you in black hair, Trinity.
Thank you.
Well, I wore this just for you.
You did? I feel like you're both red hair girls a lot of the time.
Yeah. I mean, typically I wear red, but I've been experimenting in the world of the blonde lately and I actually really like it.
Yeah. So for you people out there that are just listening, Ginger has on a blonde wig and I have on a black wig. That's why Trixie.
And I'm wearing a caftan in honor of Trixie Mattel.
It looks like a backdrop.
I was going to be the backdrop for this.
Oh my God, shut. Your arms aren't even long enough to be the backdrop, bitch.
No.
It'd have to be an Instagram TV video.
People don't understand. Like, yes, a lot of people go, oh, Ginger's short. She's short. Yes. But I'm also strangely proportioned because my arms are 2 to 3 inches shorter than the typical arms. My legs are really short and I have a long torso. So it's really difficult to like try to find clothes and stuff that fit me my whole life because nothing was ever long enough or short enough in the right areas.
It's almost like a Tyrannosaurus Rex a little bit.
A little bit, it is. that's why I don't have a shaved back.
Wow.
It's like the dry thing where like the torso is never the length you want. Like even Trinity, like even being a little bit pumped, it's not like it magically makes your torso shorter.
No.
Nothing fits.
No. I'm still a dude with pumped hips.
And you still have to get things made. Like that's, I would say like, that's the biggest, nicest thing that I think I take for granted is like, I think back of how hard it was. You either had to make something or like find some random drag that magically worked with something. Like even pulling together an outfit was so hard. It's so a blessing to have like things made for you now.
Oh, that's new for you, right? Because normally like Forever 21 is your thing.
Say it, you fucking bitch. No, I've been using the same girl, Amy Sarazan from San Francisco. She's been making my costumes for probably 2 years. And so she does all my costumes all the time. So it's great because the more we work together, the more even more like zeroed in, like exact shoulder, exact, you know.
Yeah, like you don't even have to get fitted anymore. She just knows your size and just makes
it. Yeah,
and
I like simple shit. I mean, I like my clothes. Listen, I know I look like a fucking idiot. I like my clothes to look like pretty normal, like 60s girl clothes, like real clothes.
Uh-huh.
But that's hard to find because those clothes don't fit in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I'm having a costume where I basically make custom versions of very basic clothing. I'm like,
you're basically like a Barbie, like literally like a Barbie. Like,
can you make me a plain pink mini skirt? Thank you.
But I mean, it's absolutely true because before we had the opportunities that we've had and the resources that we do, it was all about trying to go to the thrift stores and find something that you could make fit mm-hmm. because it was definitely beauty on a budget.
Hot glue.
And yeah. You know, I came from the theater world, so I knew how to slap a costume together, but I was never good at sewing, as anybody who watched season 7 will.
I do remember
will
that.
Agree. I'm not a great sewer, and it just, I was criticized a lot, and I'm still criticized a lot for my sense of fashion, but it's like, when I was coming up in drag, I really had a difficult time trying to find anything that I could fit and piece together. So yeah. You're absolutely right, it is a blessing.
You gotta do what I do, girl. I just dress so different that people are like, that's her. You can't even hate it because you're just like, I mean, that's the way she looks.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
That's her face.
You have a signature look, which is apparently really great for Drag Race. I like everybody.
Apparently.
Well, no, like seriously, everybody wants, like the fans want you to like have a signature hairstyle or hair color. I don't like to do that for myself. I like to be all different kinds of things. But what I have found is people that resonates with people when you do have a signature. Well, they like it.
Yeah, and it's because the people who appreciate that aspect of your personality, they're the people that connect with it. It's the people that see a little bit of themselves in you because of that trait. So they want to see that representation repeated.
No wonder.
Yeah, like Ginger's brand is being 4'2".
Exactly.
I will say, I don't think people realize, like, people always say to me, like, oh, you're so big in real life. I really don't think people know how short you are, Ginger. You really are, what, 5'?
I'm 5'3". Mm-hmm.
That's, for a man, extremely short.
Wow. Yeah. Well, even for a beautiful plus-size gal like myself, it is still short. I love to watch the old pictures from crowning at, like, Miss Continental Plus when I was doing the pageants and stuff, because it was always these giant glamazons with teeny tiny little me. It was like this the forest of sequoias with one little bonsai tree right in the middle, just holding my hand up, praying.
A barrel cactus.
Speaking of pageant, Trixie, I know you've done at least Minnesota Entertainer of the Year, right?
I did Wisconsin.
That's right.
Everybody thinks Minnesota and Minneapolis and Milwaukee. Everybody thinks Wisconsin and Minnesota are the same place. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
not.
I think it's because Milwaukee sounds like Minnesota to people.
Maybe that's what it is. But yeah. So have you done other pageants besides that?
No, I did. So like I was, 21 trying to work in the clubs. And of course, like any 21-year-old drag queen, I was like, nobody's hired me. Looking back, I just wasn't booked every night. And I was like, nah, you're such a bitch when you're like 21 and you want everything to fall into your lap and you don't understand why every gig, you don't understand why you're not the show director at every bar immediately.
Yeah.
And you don't understand why everyone's not, these older drag queens aren't pouring over your incredible beauty. You're like, oh, we're such an asshole. So then I did this pageant and everybody was like, well, if you do Entertainer of the Year coming up, why don't you do that? And if you win, people will be more like, oh, wow, I guess she's serious about this. So I did the state title or whatever for Entertainer of the Year. And I accidentally won because there's only 3 competitors, including me. And then they were like, great, you're going to nationals. And I was like, no. And then I gave it to the second runner up because I just didn't like it very much.
Pageants. You didn't like pageants.
I only did the one. I loved going, like when I would go to Miss Gay Wisconsin and stuff, I mean, it's the best drag show you'll see all year.
Yeah, well, because that's when the girls pull it out.
Yeah, because it's the prelim, so these girls are like, I have to turn it on a local level in order to turn it at the national level.
Yeah,
so I loved going to the pageants. It just wasn't for me. I don't know, I didn't get any like thrill out of it.
Well, I remember before Drag Race really kind of took off, well, before Drag Race was a thing, and then before it really took off, pageants were really the only way to become a celebrity in the drag world.
Yeah.
It was either your Varla Jean Merman and your Jackie B and RuPaul and Lady Bunny or all these people who have been, working at this for years and years and years and made a name for themselves, or you could really pull all your resources and go win a national pageant and travel the country.
Yeah.
And so that's where I got my footing. And believe me, I went to Miss Gay America and they flat out told me, you're far too pretty for this pageant. We don't want somebody as soft as you. We don't want somebody they told me that in the critiques. I know. But then I went to Miss Continental Plus and they were telling me.
No offense, Ginger, you wear a lot of makeup.
So
Why did they think that you're not drag queeny enough?
I don't know, but then I
was
went
it the Sharpie.
To Plus. No, it wasn't the Sharpie. I picked that up when I was at Miss US of A. But when I went to Miss Continental Plus, they, on the other hand, told me that I would never be pretty enough. That I'm
really because too masculine. Continental Plus, they're not necessarily known for their beauties. Like it's more about talent.
Well, yes, and I've done very well at Continental Plus. I mean, yeah. I've been in the top 3 6 times, but they would always tell me, you need to be softer. You need to be, so basically the complete opposite of what they told me at Miss Gay America.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of hard to find my place in the pageant world as well. And I think that's why I had kind of identity issues with who Ginger Minj was, even going into season 7. And I only auditioned for season 7 of Drag Race because it was my 6th time at Miss Continental Plus. And I just knew that I had done enough to win. And they gave me bullshit reasons why.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine, if you don't see it in me, I'm just going to go try something else.
Yeah.
Can I ask you girls something that's always bothered me about pageants too, is what really turned me off early on was the phrase like, it's her year, or like, she's gooped. The idea that the winners of these pageants are sort of in place before the pageant begins really made me as a young drag queen be like, I'm not fucking doing that.
You don't think that's how it is with Drag Race?
No.
You don't at all?
No, not at all. I mean,
I feel like they kind of know, maybe not necessarily who is going to win.
Explain Sasha Velour then.
I think that they kind of knew that she would make it to the end.
No, I mean, she didn't win. She barely won the whole time. And then she scooped it at the very end.
I mean,
I know, like, I knew going into All Stars, I knew on my season of All Stars, at least, I knew that I was going to be like, okay, I have to do a great job because I really have a potential to win.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew that if people sent me home, fans would be mad at them, so they'd be scared to eliminate me.
Absolutely.
However, I also know since people see me as a threat, they might send me home immediately.
Yeah.
And I had huge shoes to fill, because if you haven't been on TV in 5 years and you haven't done anything,
yeah,
people are like, I'm just happy to see you again. When I went on TV again, everyone was like, well, let's see if she's as great as she thinks she is. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
I was one challenge behind Shangela, and everyone acts like I didn't fucking keep up with it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't keep up at all.
Right.
Like, give me a break. I was in the bottom once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
and I've always felt like if you're going to fail spectacularly. And that was your Snatch Game. Like, it's.
That's the other thing. I failed Snatch Game, which let me tell you, you could win 3 challenges, but if you fail Snatch Game, that's what people remember.
But they also talk about it still. So it's not really a bad thing.
Like, yeah, I mean, I fucking.
You have one bad moment and they still talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible, but also having a horrible Snatch Game, I mean, once you, especially since I got that crown, I was like, great, who cares about the horrible Snatch Game? But I guess in the real pageant world, when they say like, it's her year and stuff, I was like, well, that seems problematic. Imagine competing and being like, well, I'm too young. The idea that you have to do the pageant several times to win it felt wrong to
me. Not all pageants are like that. I feel like Continental is very that, where they want you to pay your dues.
They
I
are.
Feel like the most one that is Miss Gay America. Miss Gay America is you have to pay your dues. You will never win on your first try.
That's the thing. Like, you should be able to be 21 and just smoke all
you can.
The
you can. You can do that at EOI. You can do that at Entertainer of the Year. You could do that. There's been several winners go in and nobody really know who they are, or that's their first time ever at that system, and then they go in and win. Angelique Ali, she was a resident of South Florida, went in and literally sang live for talent, had this amazing gown, and literally just won, and nobody even had ever heard of her before. And there's several that have went in and did that. But you're right, there are a lot of pageants that they're kind of like,
well, and I think it's because, you know, pageants are a business, and they were big business for a very long time, and they didn't want somebody that they didn't trust kind of keeping the business going. You need somebody
that's a really good point. It is like applying for a job, I guess, in a way.
Yeah,
I mean, you ladies too. I mean, you're both pageant people. You're both, I wish I had done pageants before doing Drag Race, because the Trinities, the Gingers, the Kennedys of the world, they walk into that competition like they're used to the feeling. They're used to the pressure. They're used to having to size up people in the room. It really makes you a much better competitor. I wish I had done it.
I don't know. I think that it's a double-edged sword, because I think that was really kind of my downfall on season 7, was the fact that I knew how to bluff the confidence, but I didn't know how to lean into my insecurities. So
I don't think you had a downfall. You almost won.
No, but me personally, like watching it back, I know how people assume I felt during certain situations, when in reality, I felt completely the opposite. So I wish that I would have had the ability at that point in my life to admit defeat, admit my flaws, and kind of lean into them and learn from them.
Oh, you were incredible.
I think the thing you for really me were. Pageants, I went in really confident.
Are you talking about Drag Race?
Yes, season 9. I went in the first day.
Hold on.
Gotta turn our beauty light on.
I went in the first day really confident and then immediately realized like everything that I had learned from pageants, I literally had to just throw it away because the way that the challenges are, pageants don't really help you with that. It's all quick on your feet. Pageants is about discipline and planning. Drag Race, you can't plan shit. You literally have to throw it all away. The only saving grace for pageants is like your runway where you look polished and your look and your confidence. But other than that, like planning for these challenges, that doesn't help you.
So you don't think like do you ladies think the competition experience at least helped in the competition vibe when you
it helped me lose? I mean, I had been so used to coming in second or third year after year. So when they announced Violet as the winner, it was like, okay, cool. Like, it's not as crushing, I think, if you're not used to experiencing that and having your feelings hurt or being let down a little bit. Like,
right.
It really did prepare me for the loss, which I think-
Which honestly, don't compete important. If you're not comfortable with losing. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, especially in Drag Race, it's like fucking one of us, 13 of us are going home disappointed. It really could be you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not because you're bad.
No, and I've seen both sides of that. Like, I almost won on season 7 and then I did really poorly on All Stars 2. And you're absolutely right. You have to go in with the right mindset of there is one winner and all you can do is your best. That's all you can control is yourself.
Trixie, would you ever go back and compete on anything with Drag Race related?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not huge on, I don't really like competition, you guys. I mean, I really wanted to do All Stars because when I watched Katya do it, I was kind of jealous. And I also just did so poorly on my season that I feel like I had nothing to lose, like at all. I'd never won a challenge.
Feel like you did poorly. And that's another thing is like, a lot of the fans have said, oh, Trixie had the biggest redemption ever because she was terrible on season 7 and then slayed All Stars 3. I never thought that you did poorly. I always thought the things that you did, especially since I got to work one-on-one with you 2 weeks in a row, like I saw how good you were in the competition. I hated that didn't translate. You.
Well, I don't know if you guys felt this way, but when I lost All Star or when I lost the season 7, I just went home feeling like I'd never really lost something like that before because I never really competed and I felt horrible and it really
Did you think you were gonna win?
I didn't think I was gonna win, but because I'm not a competitor, I hadn't really prepared for the fact that I wasn't gonna win.
Yeah.
I was only thinking of I'm gonna try to win.
Yeah.
And it was a real blow to my confidence. Obviously, I had a great fan reaction and it was wonderful and I got all the opportunities, but it really made me feel like, wow, I'm a shitty lip syncer. I'm a shitty, like my makeup or whatever. And when I did All Stars, it kind of like erased all that. Like once I won All Stars, it made my personal Drag Race story end on a high note. And that's why I don't really want to do it again. I mean, I'm not even that great of a competitor. I'm going to be honest. Even if there was like an all winners, I swear to God, I'd be the first out that door. Because some people are so much, like people like Bob are even better in competition.
Yeah.
I'm not better in competition. I seem to be really good at drag in the real world, like marketing and building Trixie. But in Drag Race world, I feel like it's really hard for me to do well.
Yeah. I understand that.
I think on All Stars, I thought I slayed. My love for my runways, I wouldn't change a thing except that RuPaul, that snatch game. But I also just felt so proud of what I did. I'd rather that be like the last thing I do, except for like Celebrity Drag Race.
Yeah.
I loved that. I loved doing the Christmas special.
I don't think I would want to do the Christmas special.
It was so fun. You guys, we had the most fun. Everyone.
I wish that I could have done that.
It was a blast. And then, you know, until Jasmine left in the middle, you know,
what's the tea on that?
If no one knows, I mean, it was just, everybody is different levels of ready and is or is not apologizing about, let's just stop being diplomatic about it. Shangela was running super late and Jasmine was mad.
Oh, wow.
And that's what happened.
Oh, wow.
And Jasmine, so Jasmine just left?
Jasmine's like, I'm fucking 45. I'm a veteran in this industry. I'm not going to sit here in a wig for another 40 minutes waiting for this girl to get her dress on. So Jasmine got in her wig, got in her car, and drove off set. And it was fierce.
So it was Shangela's fault.
Well, Shangela just, you know, she isn't the queen of being on time. And I guess I can handle it. Jasmine,
is she on time during All Stars?
Yeah. I mean, she was probably last to the runway, but yeah. I mean, she's
queen. Well, I feel like Drag Race is a lot like pageant, like Miss Continental, in the sense that if you're not there, we're skipping you. We're on a schedule.
I don't think so. I feel like that it depends on who you are. They will wait for you. Season 9, and I love this girl to death, and she's probably different now. I don't know. I made that up. But Valentina was last every single time, and they waited for her. They waited for her.
Girl, I mean, they can't go on without you.
Well, there's one day that she was like, girl, she had on literally nothing. It was like a little bitty skimpy ass costume, but they're having to rub her legs with this tanner and put on, like, they even had to glue on her nails for her. They had glued her hand to the table. Girl, so like, we're waiting on her to pry her hand off the table. Like,
I'm not saying they're going to leave you, but like, the longer you take, the more somebody like Jasmine has to sit in a chair and wait.
Jasmine's
just not that pressed about, like,
no.
Mm-hmm. If the commitment becomes unfun for her and she feels like it's unprofessional, she leaves and she left. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget her driving off the lot and PA's like, stop, please stop. And we're all in like Christmas gear, and me and Kim are like, did that just happen?
Hey, she's left in full drag with her suitcase as the Grinch just out the door in her car.
But I love Jasmine. I love Shangela. So them fighting, I was like, mom, dad, stop. It seems like whenever there's a legendary drag blow up, it's never involving me, but I'm always in the room when it happens. And I'm always like, it's always just like when the iconic Mimi I'm First Alyssa blowout on that tour was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course, I'm sure that they've, you know, drag queens get mad and get over it in 5 seconds. But me watching.
That's what a lot of the fans don't understand, is the things that happen on the show. Yeah, we are in our feelings and we're tired and we're being overworked and all that kind of shit. So we pop off and we say what we need to say. But as soon as we get in that van with dark tinted windows and drive back to an undisclosed location, which is usually a Marriott somewhere, then we talk it out and we work through our feelings and things are fine.
Yeah, and even on tours, like, there's some people who don't get along, and that doesn't mean they hate each other, it just means they're probably not gonna choose the same dressing rooms.
Me and Alyssa got into it one time. I never really talked about it. We she body slammed me one day at a show with me and Murray and Peter. Yeah, she did. She seriously did.
I believe it.
Yeah, we were just playing backstage, you know, being shady. You know how I am. I'm a shit talker, but like, I don't mean anything by it. Drag queens do that. And I guess, girl, I had struck a nerve. I didn't even realize. I thought we were just playing still. And then all of a sudden, bitch, I'm just like picked up and it's WWE or F or G or whatever they call it. And girl, drag queen down, bitch. I was down on the floor. But, you know, we got over it.
She's very, I mean, one time when I told that Mimi story, I told it on Hey Queen. Uh-huh. I just told it as a story.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And then I think. And then she called me the next day and Alyssa goes, hey, I heard that you said this and I just want to make sure there's no beef. So let's just hash it out. Say what you want about people. Alyssa's the only whore who will call you to hash it out. Every other drag queen would talk about it behind your back. So like, Alyssa will just be mad and let it go too. She just wants to talk about it, move on. She's very...
Well, Alyssa, if you hear this, there's no beef. I just thought it was...
Alyssa, we want another body slam, but this time we want it on camera. Thank you.
Where's the beef?
You know, if I could get paid, I'd let her body slam me. That bitch is strong, bitch. She had biceps.
And she got them dancer legs.
I mean, I'm very patient. So like when the Alyssas or the Shangelas of the world are running late, I'm fine. I'll play on my phone for 3 hours. I don't care.
Well, remember on season 7, like there was a very small group of us, a little handful that would always get done quickly when we were getting ready. And we would go outside and literally just sit there and smoke and talk and do all that kind of shit while other people were just sitting in there, like literally going over every line. Everybody has their own method when it comes to getting into drag and their own regime. But there was a handful of us that were like, no, fuck this. I got my eyelashes on. I'm going outside. And then Trixie would come outside and be like, let me hold one of your cigarettes. I was like, you don't smoke, I'm just going to hold it. So they would let her stay outside.
You couldn't be outside if you didn't have a cigarette.
So oh my God, like, that's a good like, trick.
I had a Trixie Mattel cigarette that she had the entire season. I would just hand it to her and she'd just
pretend smoking. Because I like smoke. It would be me and Kennedy, who, you know, we get along, but we're not best friends. It'd be us staring at each other while everyone smokes.
That's hilarious.
And Kennedy will just take a nap. She'll just lay down wherever she is.
Uh-huh.
Trixie, tell us something that you've never told anybody. Just air it out. There's got to be something. There's a secret in there somewhere.
Oh, my God.
It could be about Trixie. It could be about you, out of drag, your life, trade.
Oh, my God. What's my secret?
There is a secret. I know that there is a secret.
It's a lot of boring secrets. Like, the things I don't tell people are, like, really basic shit.
Like, do you pick your nose?
Oh, everywhere, all the time.
Well, I feel like all drag queens have to. Maybe not you, because you have like the bionic nose over here.
Yeah, I do that drag queen nose pick where I'm like,
my nose holes are too tight. I can't fit my finger in anymore.
Do you get the Q-tips and swirl them out?
No, I'm just like, well, fuck.
Well, girl, I think
another surgery to remove something else. Okay.
Every drag queen out there gets like the crusty powdery boogers, because all we're doing all day is powdering more and more and more around our face, around our mouth, and all that kind
of
shit.
Yeah, either that or like, you know, they're
oh my God.
Nipping something.
I'll say this. I used to have a lot of nightmares about Drag Race from when I got cast on it all the way through after I did it the first time. I would have nightmares whole time. I just always have nightmares about it. It was so stressful to me.
Yeah.
For years, had nightmares all the time about it, like once a week at least, a full nightmare about it. Like, I'm not ready, or I'm lip syncing, or something, you know, whatever. And then when I won, I never had a nightmare again.
It is mental torture.
And that's probably why I'd never do it again, because like having no anxiety about Drag Race anymore is so worth it.
You know, I had the same experience with EOI when I was competing for Entertainer of the Year. It took me 6 tries over 10 years to win. And literally for that 10 years, every single day and night dreaming, it's all I thought about. And in like you with that, in my dreams, I would constantly have nightmares about like not winning or have dreams of what my talent would be like. And I could not dream about it. And as soon as I won, it all stopped.
Well, yeah. I haven't won anything, so
the nightmares
continue.
Honestly, I don't have any secrets really. I mean, honestly, we're going to season 6 of UN. I have said it all.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done every topic, and for something about that set with her, there's only one camera person, and I just have no qualms saying anything, and I just black out and say it all, and then I'll be home watching it later and I'll be like, oh my God, I just told everybody that. Wow, I really just said I've had crabs 3 times. Wow, I really just said, you know, like we just had an episode about, well, there's an episode in the next season about jerking off, and I'm like, I went home being like, oh my God, I did not need to tell everybody that. But I think that's why I have no secrets, because I just like puke it
out. I also think that's good. I think it's good if you can be open and authentic. Like a lot of these girls, the audition year after year, they're like, will you watch my tape, or will you give me critiques, or will you tell me what they're looking for? I'm like, they're looking for authenticity in the people who audition. Like they want you to be willing to come on there and talk about picking your nose and having crabs
and masturbation.
And what it's like. Matter.
Like they give you that list of stuff to do. I would say when I auditioned, I did half of it.
Yeah.
And then my friend who worked in casting said, don't worry about the requirements. Treat it like your own reality TV pilot. So just do whatever you want. And then
they really just want to see personality.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of the shit they asked for. And RuPaul said it was the funniest audition he's ever seen. Because I just did whatever I wanted. I didn't.
But that's what she said about James Charles James Mansfield too.
Oh, I he love is James Mansfield.
I do too. I think James Mansfield is one of the most self-sufficient queen.
Bitch, have you seen what she does to a Party City wig?
Yeah, RuPaul Party City wigs.
If you guys go to my YouTube channel, which we have, you know, new videos every week. If you go to my subscribers or who I subscribe to, it's like 10 accounts. 9 of them, I think, are video games. And the last one is James Mansfield. I watch every video. That bitch will buy a $5 used wig from a Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll turn it.
Yeah.
We have a, I can't say too much, but she collaborated with me on a project coming up and she did the hair and they're fucking amazing. And like, I remember being in beauty school and teaching James how to back comb. So like the fact that she can do what she does now is nuts. She's one of my favorite drag queens.
I love James too. I remember during our season 9, Ruth said that about James, that was one of the best auditions she ever saw. And I was so confused. I'm like, why did she go home? But it's because she was just so nervous. Yeah. I hope they give her another chance. I've never done TV before.
She'd never done TV before. I mean, I won and I still don't think I'm a great competitor.
Yeah.
That environment, plus the first time in front of TV cameras, like I was talking to Priyanka about this. She was legitimately a TV personality for years.
Yeah, she was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, do you think that helped you? She's like, I couldn't imagine doing Drag Race and never have seen a video camera before.
Yeah.
Like I used to have a lot more camera shyness, even up till like COVID, but doing my YouTube channel and being in front of cameras by myself all day, gone.
Yeah.
I don't notice cameras at all anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot you and they point it at you. It's like, it's just a fucking calculator with a glass ball on it. Like it's not that serious, but now it feels so scary. Like the cameras are rolling. What if I do something? It's not that deep.
No, and I think that that's a very important lesson for people to hear and to understand and to take to heart is that as long as you're just being authentically you and you're being sincere, don't fucking worry about what's going on around you.
Yeah.
Like just go and do it and you're going to fail or you're going to succeed or fall somewhere in the middle. It doesn't matter because you're being true to yourself.
I have a question about like what you think of. Like, aside from any experience that you had on Drag Race, what is your all-time favorite RuPaul's Drag Race moment?
Oh, that I'm not in.
Yeah.
There's a few. Well, there's one coming up because I'm ahead of you guys on the pit stop. So there's one coming up.
Of this season?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Because you guys know me. I like watching someone bomb. That's the funniest thing to me. I remember watching your season, Trinity. I remember watching Farrah do the roast and crying laughing.
I mean, mine was awful too, but I can't really complain.
Crying. I mean, you and I have roasted together. I wouldn't say it's your greatest gift.
It's not.
It's not. That's okay.
Yeah.
But Farrah roasting was the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, it was awful.
It was so fucking funny. I just love when people are so like on their own planet. Like on All Stars when we all do those soup cans. And everyone's like, mine's best at everything soup. And mine's this soup. BB's was like a real recipe for real food.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, what? Like, I love whenever people don't understand the assignment on television. Like, that is what I live for.
So you're telling us some tea. Hold on, wait. You're telling us some tea. So there is an episode coming up that something crazy like that happens. Where it's just so bad that it's good.
I won't tease too much. But we'll say that sometimes people just they really confidently believe they are doing something good and it is so bad.
Well, like so bad. Last year, All Stars 5, when Blair St. Clair was doing the stand-up with that notepad.
Yes.
And the editing just focused in on the...
Oh my gosh. That's one thing that I fear is doing... I'm funny when I'm just bantering. I'm not funny when it's planned. I'm just not. It's just not I don't do jokes.
We know.
I mean, if we're talking like real gag worthy shit, I mean, Regia Roe was a gag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kitty Girl was a gag. We really did that once. What else was amazing? I mean, there's so many things that were like just incredible. There's so many iconic moments. Like I think of Courtney and those wings when I saw that on TV.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What? Or like, anytime someone's naked, I love it. Like Valentina when she was naked for the Madonna runway.
Yeah.
I felt bad because that whole episode, her storyline was that she doesn't eat, but then she was naked and I was like, quit! I was like, oh wait, I shouldn't be clapping because she's really skinny. Like, I didn't really know how a viewer we were supposed to feel about that.
I didn't even notice that until you just said that.
But she looked so incredible. And then I mean, that's pretty much it. You guys, Farrah's roast. It just cracks my shit up. I think she says, like, RuPaul, why is the judging panel, why is the judging panel for talented people, but you're not talented? And then she's like, it's so crazy. It's like, that. I love when the Drag Race is a Lee Dawson edit on its own.
Yeah,
that was one of those moments. That was one of those moments where I was like, is this real? Is this real?
Again, it's like, if you're gonna fail, fail spectacularly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Snatch Game can go in that direction. I mean, when on this season, the Snatch Game, the Bob Ross, I was like, oh my God. I love when they're bad.
It was bad. And the thing is, that could have been so good. That's such a, like, if she even would have just done something completely different. That wasn't necessarily him, but I mean, she did that, which was, it just was the wrong.
I was just waiting for some happy little treat.
When I think of that season Snatch Game, I'm going to think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
I also felt weird about, like, I don't want to wear an afro, so I'm going to wear animals on my head to suggest that animals on your head is the same as textured hair. I was like, that's worse.
I mean, I understand both sides of that argument, but Bob Ross's hair was iconically permed.
I mean, are we going to cancel Bernadette Peters? Like, what are we doing?
The thing is, the stuff, like, and I totally get it with Utica, but I just don't think people should be that, like, walking on eggshells. Like, you know what your intent is. If your intent is to offend people, then yes, you should be worried. But girl, you're doing a character that's what his hair looks like. Girl, get over it. Move on.
Well, it was the same as, like, when Tina did Richard Simmons. He also had that really tight perm, that gingery, real, like, wiry kind of perm. And she opted not to go in that direction. So I felt like it lost a little bit of its
authenticity.
And also its recognizability.
Yeah.
I just love when shit's crazy. I love when someone's failing so bad that they've edited it almost like a Lee Dawson thing. That's what I love.
Yeah.
And I like when the drag is good, of course, but I get really bored with pretty shit. I like really weird shit.
Yeah.
So you're bored with me a lot is what you're saying.
No, I said I like weird shit.
Oh, okay. Wow. I mean, I was pretty, but it's fine.
What's funny is, like, on Drag Race, I just, for runways especially, I want narrative. If you're going to look great, there still needs to be more to it than just, like, a nice, if the runway dress, if the theme is green and you wore a green dress, I'm like, okay, what else? I don't need you to wear, like, frog eyes or something, but, like.
But that is also where the pageant comes in to hurt people like us as well, because we have been taught by breaking down all the subcategories, your hair has to be this length, your earrings can't be longer than this, your gown must be fitted, it must be this. So you think too far inside the box instead of just having fun with it.
I like inside the box, but it can't be, even if, like, it can, there's certain girls, and I'm not going to name names, there's certain girls that are pageant girls that everything is perfect on the runway that in the past seasons, but it's just too plain. It's too, like, old school. It's not exciting. It's not, like, it's perfect, but it's not exciting. And you could still be perfect and a pageant queen and still be exciting. We want to see
it. But that's also a new thing. That's a new development, because when we were doing pageants, that was frowned on.
Yeah.
They wanted, all right, you're going to come out wearing a version of the dress that she wore the year before, and then she wore the year before that.
A beaded dress to the floor.
Yeah.
Don't touch your dress.
Yeah. I mean, it's very strict rules. And I think that on season 7, for me at least, I had spent so many years trying to be pretty and perfect, like I was told I would never be, that I was scared to really just take chances on the runway.
I mean, that makes sense. I just always think, like, I like when it fits the category and there's a few extra layers. I'm like, this person really did this.
Yeah.
And I felt like somebody who was really great at that was Violet. Like, people assume we have this major rivalry and I hated her. No, girl, I sat there in awe with everybody else backstage every week going, you look stunning. Like,
oh yeah, she let all of us. If you think about the caliber Drag Race is at now, Violet was there.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like she kind of helped turn it to what the runway has become. And it was exciting to see those things in person.
I am the body police on the pit stop, though, because I am always just like, how come it's a runway of 14 girls and there is four breasts on this runway?
Period. Yeah.
There's no corsets, no pads. Nobody has any makeup on. Everyone's in a flat wig. I also think like the internet drag going to TV, it's like, Mary, proportions.
Yeah.
You are 6'1 and born male. Can we see some more, like, bring out what's good about your shape? It's not body shaming. It's like, you're on television. RuPaul has a corset on. He's 6'5", bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just always think like body shape is, it matters to me on runways a lot.
Yeah.
Now, if you're 100 pounds, you probably can get away with it. Because if you were a girl, you wouldn't have boobs if you were like 100 pounds.
Maybe. I mean, my sister's 100 pounds and she has huge boobs, but they're
all
not
boobs.
They're not real, yeah. But.
To me, it's not really about like policing a body as much as it's like, okay, well, if this is what you've got to start with, what can we optimize to give the whole fantasy, you know?
I understand that, particularly when it comes to runways. Like, I went into season 7 with a very narrowed view of what I thought drag should be. Mm-hmm. And then sitting back and watching it and traveling around the world and seeing all these different types of drag, it was really fun to kind of see people who looked all sorts of different ways and shapes and all sorts, like, it was incredible to see. So I love seeing the diversity on the runway.
Yeah.
I love when you can come out with no hip, no breasts, you know, no wig and really serve it. But I don't feel like every single look should be the same no matter what you do.
Yeah. True.
I feel like you, especially with what Drag Race has become and evolved to, I feel like you really need to take those chances and you really need to go out there and serve us something exciting every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just always want it to make sense, I guess. And also, whatever I think, who cares? I look like an idiot. Who cares what I think? Like, if I don't like your drag or I don't like your runway, you also probably don't like mine and I don't care. That's like when people are like, we need to stop having fans critiquing drag. I'm like, stop caring what fans think of your drag.
Yeah.
That is so much easier. You can't control what Beth from Iowa thinks of your gown on TV. Mm-hmm. You can control if you care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, obviously DMing people to kill themselves is a next level, but like, why do you go on the internet looking for what fans think of you? Just like, fuck them. And like, you are fierce and you know it. And if they don't like it, they don't have to watch you.
Well, and what RuPaul says is very true. Like, Ru always says what other people think about you is none of your business.
And none of us got into drag because we wanted to do something everyone would love.
Yeah.
None of the country thinks we should be in mental institutions for doing this.
Yeah.
We'd be shot on sight in some places and people would be like, well, she was dressed like that.
Yeah. Well, and the whole thing that really attracted me to drag in the first place was because I looked up to the icons in our community who were making change, who were there leading the march and doing all of these things. They were always at the front of the line, taking risks and making people notice and pay attention to these horrible things that were happening in the world, and especially within our community. And they were the ones that were making a difference. So I got into it because of that. That's what really drew me to drag.
Oh, girl, mine was not anything like noble like that. I got into drag because I was a broke 18-year-old. Somebody dared me to do it and said, you can make money. So I was like, hey,
that is, girl, that is me too. People are like, whenever I get to do so many cool interviews, and they always want their moment where they're like, why did you start doing drag? And they want you to be like, to change the narrative and start discussions. I'm like, drinks and attention. I started for drinks and attention. And honestly, that hasn't even changed.
Well, when I first started doing drag, like before I really got into the whole drag culture, I literally started dressing up to go to Attitudes, which was our one little gay bar in Leesburg. And you had to park in the ditch across the street and run across the highway. And people would sit out there in their trucks and throw like bricks and rocks and stuff at the sissies running into the bar. And girl, the only way that I could legally drink was to use my cousin's fiance's ID, because I looked just enough like him.
Fiance's ID.
Yep. Yeah, I looked just enough like him as long as I had on a wig and some lashes. So I would dress up.
You looked like him, ginger. Only with a wig and lashes.
Like, you could look at the picture and then look at me in drag and go, okay, maybe I can see kind of the same body shape and facial structure.
Are you telling me that the crossdresser for Christ herself was lying to go drink at gay bars in a wig?
Well, I was trying to imbibe in the blood of Christ.
She,
And
she was trying to get the blood of Christ. She just wanted the blood of Christ.
Exactly, especially on 25 cent pitcher beer night.
I mean, you're right though, Ginger. I mean, there's reasons you start, and then there's reasons you keep doing it.
Yeah.
I started for the attention and the alcohol and the free cover to the club and the fact that more people would talk to me at the bar if I was in drag, obviously. And I love makeup and hair and all that. But you keep doing it, obviously, because of the, like, Katya and I always talk about, like, if I went back to doing this for, you know, tip spots again, I don't know if I would keep doing it this phase of my life.
Oh, no, I would never. That's girl.
I would change gears. I would maybe have 2 shows a month where I just go and make enough money to drink and like feel the fantasy. But I wouldn't try to like drill it like that
anymore. I don't think so. I think this drag has turned into definitely a business for me.
Yeah.
So once this business goes bankrupt, girl, I'm done. She's hanging up the wig.
She's having a fire sale.
That's why I just feel like we should all save our money and like, whenever it dries up, they might just not care about one of us tomorrow.
Bitch, you are one to save our money. Bitch, you are like a trillionaire with your makeup line TV.
Wait. Makeup, Trixie Cosmetics.
Yes, we just announced a new collection today.
I am wearing, right now,
Are you wearing Mod About You?
No, I'm wearing Side Chick with just a pinch of Girl on Girl.
I'm wearing it up here too. Which I don't know what the name of it was, the pink one that you gave me.
Oh, with your mom.
Yeah, with your blush palette that you gave me that I don't remember the name of either.
You guys on the PR list? You are, right?
No.
No, I haven't gotten anything in a while.
Exposed.
We'll hated me, but it's
fine. Make a note of it.
So we loved having you on our podcast.
Wait, before you go. I know everybody in the world is going to be mad if we don't address the elephant in the room.
Eureka,
come on in. No.
Oh, I'm just texting you guys for addresses. Accountability. I'm getting the addresses for the PR list.
Perfect. So everybody's going to want us to talk about this BFF situation.
BFF situation.
Yes, because I referred to Katya as my BFF on All Stars 2. And then she
spent
all of her time with Trixie because they are best friends. And they think that there's this triangle of hatred and like despair and deceit going on between the three of us.
Oh my God. Girl, people believe it all. Girl.
I know.
People believed Kim hated me because she said like go Shangela on All Stars or something.
Well, and then look at you, you've got a Chipotle palette now, the two of you.
It's incredible. You can go on the Chipotle app and order the beauty bowl with me and Kim.
It's super cute. I looked at it. But people think we hate each other all the time. And I hate that because you and I got very close on season 7 and they didn't get to see that aspect of our relationship really. But I love you. Like, I absolutely adore you. We've always had a good time together.
I love you. I love you both. I have only positive memories of working with both of you. Ever.
I don't really know we'll work together again.
We worked
on the Pater's Roast and I was drunk through that because I couldn't get through it. So I don't really remember any of that.
There was, you would be bombing. So, well, let's just say what it is. It wasn't bombing.
Trixie and I sat next to each other every night on Pater's
Roast. Yeah, let's just say that there's, reading is really like, either you can do the splits or you can't.
Okay, look, I wasn't as bad as Derek Barry, okay? At least that. Yeah.
There were some bad ones in general, but the bad thing is on the first night of a 22 city tour, when they're bad, you're like, we're going to hear this bad set every night. Yeah. And as you've learned, I love a bomb. I laughed harder at your set every night than anybody else's. Cause I love a joke and you would just go up there. Like it was a death march walking up there.
I hated it.
She would walk up there and be like, well, these didn't work last night. Let's see.
Trixie would slap me the whole time.
Oh my God. One night the jokes didn't work and you just went, you know what? I want the money back from Jackie Beat. I love working with both of you. I'm telling you, there's not a single drag queen I have a problem with. I don't have the energy. People need to get a life. Mm-hmm. Imagine believing that we hate each other.
I do love when these theories kind of pop up on my social media. They just kind of creep through. Or like I finally sat down and watched that pit stop you and I did for Canada Drag Race. And it was lovely. And 99% of the comments were great. But a lot of them were like, oh my God, Katya's two BFFs in the same room. They're going to kill each other. Mary, we spent plenty of time in the same room. We
also, you can have her. Like, Katya and I are best friends because we're both antisocial. And unless we're being paid to be there, we don't even see each other.
And I love you both. And we all talk together. We talk separately. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, the fact that y'all love each other. We have been talking a long time. We didn't even get through anything. You're going to have to come back as a guest in the future.
I would love to.
Your, like, cosmetic stuff, your YouTube. So tell people, like, because you have you and Katya have a new podcast coming out.
It's out, and it's great.
Out. So we have The Bald and the Beautiful every week. Trixie and Katya podcast with it's Trixie fantastic. And Katya's Guide to Modern Womanhood, the New York Times best-selling book.
I do have to call you out on that, though.
Oh, well.
You said that I use Sharpie on my eyebrows. I never use Sharpie on my eyebrows, only my lips. That was Silky Nutmeg Ganache that used them on her eyebrows.
Wow. I will never forget you in that Sharpie. I'll never forget it. What we put our bodies through. And by the way, as a drag queen, we put our bodies through so much. You see some girl putting on Sharpie as lip liner and you go, work. Like, no. I've been there. No. We have Back to the Fuchsia coming out this weekend at Trixie Cosmetics, a lovely purple blush palette. Blister in the Sun just came out, my single. And you can catch me on my YouTube channel every single week. We have new videos every week, Easy Bake Ovens, plus season 6 of starting. Netflix Queens Who Like to Watch with me and Katya. And I think that's it.
And you're going to run a marathon.
And I'm going to run a marathon. So yeah, in 6 weeks, I'm supposed to run 26.2 miles. So pray for me.
Wow, I good luck, play. Bitch. Good luck. Well, thanks for being on our podcast, and I hope we get to do a show together soon.
We love you too, honey.
Can we just do drag again?
Hello?
Yeah, it's been nice not doing it from the tits down.
Yeah, I miss the girls, though. Like, we just had somebody on the pit stop in person, and I was like, I haven't seen another cross-dresser besides Katya in a long time. But you guys are in Florida. You'll be safe. No one has
Yeah, we're there. Fine in Florida. Yeah. We're wearing masks now.
Have a good day, you guys. I love you. I can't wait to see you.
Bye, honey.
Bye.